Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of Unstoppable Success. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger. And on this podcast, we hear from amazing humans and how they have had unstoppable success, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And today, I have an amazing guest, Roy Collin. And let me tell you a little bit about Roy, because you are going to love his wisdom. He is a seasoned serial entrepreneur with an impressive track record of founding 20 companies across 5 countries. He's a podcast coach and host. He has successfully launched and driven 6 podcasts to the top of the industries, with all consistently ranking in the top 5% and 4 reaching that prestigious top 0.5%. In addition to podcasting, he is the co-founder of Brain Gym Fitness, a platform dedicated to enhancing cognitive abilities and empowering individuals to optimize their mental performance. He's the co-founder of VA World. He connects clients with perfect virtual assistants. But more than anything, you are going to want to hear, because Roy has lost everything and gained it all back with, again, unstoppable success. So welcome to the podcast, Roy.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah. So, Roy, okay. So first of all, you know, you shared you've got 20 companies, 5 different countries. So how did you start all of those and go to all the different countries?
So I wasn't living in all the countries, but I've kind of, why I class myself as a serial entrepreneur. When I was 9, I started washing cars, doing a bit of gardening, delivering leaflets. At 11, I did a newspaper round. So I was doing newspapers. I did that up to college. When I was 14, the money from the newspapers, I bought a lawnmower. So I went around cutting grass, and then I had people working with me. And what I would do is, the people with me, I'd give them a third. I'd say a third for you, a third for me, and a third for the upkeep of the lawnmower. That's the way I did it. And when I was 18, I was into motorbikes. And then I kind of saw, ooh, I can spruce up a motorbike. I'd buy a motorbike, maybe paint it, fix it up a bit, sell it a few days later, make a couple of $100. And I was doing that for a while as well. And then I studied construction economics and management. Worked for a mechanical contractor. They're the biggest mechanical contractor now. They were the second at the time. I kind of worked my way up to contracts manager. I was running a lot of jobs, you know, multi-million pound jobs, and done very well. And even when I was working with them, I set up another company doing internet convergence, I think I called it. It was doing web design. So me and another guy, we started doing that. It done a bit all right. And then just kind of ran its course and just kind of closed it down. And then I went to another company and became a regional manager, a mechanical and electrical contractor. And during that time, then I started dating a Polish girl. And when I visited her parents, I said, oh, property's okay here. Property's cheap. So I started buying a few. And then I saw a potential. So I set up a company. I set up an Irish company. Then I set up a Polish company for Irish investors. But in the end, I got English, American, and I built a kind of big company, because I had 14 people on my books at one stage. I had a big commercial. I was building apartments. I built 30 apartments. I built houses. And I was managing over 200 properties, done loads of renovations. Because how it started off is, people would say, okay, yeah, we're interested in the property. And then they say, yeah, but we need it renovated. Oh, I can do that. We need it fitted out in furniture. Oh, I can do that. And then we need it managed. Oh, I can do that. And it just kind of, it was never kind of planned. It just said, oh, this is good. And then it was kind of organizing insurance and everything. So there was a lot of kind of knock on different things that I was doing. And it was going well. I had syndicates for all the different things, for the commercial, for the buildings that I was doing. And I was like the small boy. I had 3 properties in Ireland at that stage. So I was worth maybe 1 million at that stage. And the people that I got involved were worth 10 million, maybe 20 million. They had a lot of assets. And everything was going well. Then the crash happened, and it took a while to come across. Then they got in trouble. And I just assumed they would come right, or they'd get themselves sorted. And I started putting more of my money into it, saying, look, when you get it, because we had a mortgage on the commercial, just pay me and I'll charge you 10% interest. And I wasn't going to kick them into it. They didn't get it right. And eventually I started getting into trouble. And I asked the bank, hey, can I have interest only? And they said, no, the minute I missed the payment in Poland, they came in sending the bailiffs. In Ireland, I had interest only, and they were all po cash positive. And the banks during this time decided to charge interest and repayments. And I said, hey, I can't do this. It's going from making about 500 bucks per property to, minus 1,000 per property. And they didn't care. So everything kind of came tumbling down. And usually with a li limited liability company, you'd kind of go, yeah, lessons learned. Let's kind of get back up and go. But I was the president of a lot of companies. And instead of making about 5 million, that's where I was kind of going with all the different things. Because on paper, with the developments I was doing, I had a lot of properties with shares in it. And because I was the president, I was personally liable. So everyone else just kind of, they were dealing with their own problems, left me on my own. And through that, then I had about 100 court cases, personally liable for
Oh.
like 5 million is the debt that I had on the thing. And So I had to go through that, and then kind of saw so much corruption, bailiffs working with valuers,
Oh.
bailiffs bribing people, like in the housing project when that was for sale, they had their own cronies. They bribed people in the room so they wouldn't bid on the project. I didn't go in. I was advised not to. I got good advice, not from solicitors or accountant, but from an entrepreneur who came and asked about one of the projects. And usually, when you're going through kind of loss, you kind of don't even want to talk to people. But that's not my character. So I said, yeah, come in. Met him, came to my premises, had a coffee, and I was showing him all the drawings. And he gave me tips on how to protect myself. And through that, then, but with all the court cases, I saw the corruption in the courts as well, everything they were doing. It was like, this is wrong, the city, how the city operated. So that kind of built up my strength. It was a hard time, obviously, to go through. I lost all my houses in Ireland, including my personal belongings. They just locked up the door. And and I went to a high court in Ireland. I had 8 cases there fighting for one of the things. And I just saw so much corruption there as well. I was like, what's going on? So I'll give an example. In Ireland, there was one of the people I was listening to. So it's not like you just have a plaintiff defendant with their solicitors, and it was like you have one judge and you could have 100, 150 people there. They were mainly barristers who were the high-end attorneys, and most people didn't even turn up. I was representing myself because I'd lost everything at that stage. But there was one case I was listening to, and they said, we got KPMG to investigate the interest rates. We were overcharged 15,000 euro. And the judge said, when was that? 2 years ago. He said, you should have took it up with them then. Banged, rule in favor of the bank plus interest plus penalties. Every single case was like that. And the way that it's done is there's an affidavit, which is a sworn statement. I didn't even know what an affidavit was. I had to ask somebody, what's an affidavit? So they made this sworn statement about a property that I had. And basically, how the market went, this property was worth 400,000 euro. And then it dropped to 125,000 euro. I mean, that shouldn't happen. That's just the way
Right.
they stopped lending. They were throwing money. If you had a pulse, you got a mortgage. And then they just, even if you'd
And I just
50%,
right.
if you'd 50%, I knew people in Poland did 50% payment, they couldn't get a mortgage. So it just shows they turned off the tap. So on this property, eventually it kind of came up as I was still trying to fight through it. I was getting money coming in from different things. I was trying to before they actually took it off me. And what I said is, I had an offer of 200,000 on a 220 mortgage. And I said, full and final settlement. And they refused. And they sold it for less. And then they came after me for the excess. Yeah. They sold it for 165. And
My gosh.
yeah. So through that, then I created my affidavit. And what I had on it was, one, there's a billionaire, Dennis O'Brien. He got a 300 million write-off from the same bank. I said, you give him a write-off and he doesn't need it. He's a billionaire. And he wouldn't give it to me. I had where the bank were fraudulent. They were on telly. There was somebody done a documentary where they were doing insurance fraud. I put that into my affidavit and a load of other things. And they could never respond to my affidavit. So each time a different judge, they're just getting your file. They're just looking at it for like a minute, 2 minutes. And your life is on the line based on this, that you're personally liable for a lot of money. And usually, I like there was some nice jobs, maybe two of the eight were nice, but a lot of times they were attacking me and the barristers were nasty. And I don't know, something would come into me and I just say something and they go, all right, so let's come back. And it's a different judge. And the seventh guy, he said, what's going on here? Why haven't you responded to his affidavit? Because legally they're supposed to, because that's my sworn statement, and they're supposed to say, hey, he's wrong, or and they couldn't because I
Right.
was 100% right. And he said, I'm awarding him €1,400 travel expenses, and you better respond within 3 weeks or there'll be serious consequences. So I went away happy out, came back thinking I'm going to win, this is going to be grand.
Right.
Different judge. And like, you started off, I don't know, was it 9:30 or something like that in the morning? And same thing, a room full of people. If I don't turn up, they just rule against me. So I have to be there. And the judge starts and he goes, oh, this is going to take longer. We'll do it at the after lunch. So I still have to stay there. Then after lunch, he starts about 15 minutes. He goes, no, it's taking too long. We'll wait till later. So it was nearly 6 o'clock that he'd done my case. The barrister for the bank started going through the whole thing. Then it was my turn. And the judge kept stopping me. Like, he wouldn't even let me talk. And somebody stood up and said, hey, what's going on here? He says, you related to him. They said, no, they said, you'll get out if you do that again. And I was like, I said, this is so wrong. And in the end, he just ruled in favor of the banks, but then he went to go for interest and penalties. And I said, hey, I'm fighting this for 2 years or whatever it was at the time, year and a half, I can't remember. And I said, they've never responded to my affidavit. And he says, fair enough. So he actually ruled no interest, no penalties. It was the only win that I have seen in the whole 8 times I was, and I mean, there could be 100 cases when I'm there listening. And so I was thinking, I'm going to the EU about this. I said, this is total fraud. And what I found out when I tried to do that is you have to appeal. And the way it works in Ireland, some countries, if you have a case like that, it doesn't go above that amount. The amount, it was like, I think, 68,000 or something like that euro. The amount, but it could have been like 300,000 if I had lost on the interest in
Right,
because
right.
these guys charge 10 gay a day, like, so you know, it's expensive, these barristers. And what happens, they said I have to appeal, but what it does is it opens it back up. So not only, so it would be 68 plus all of the other one plus the new one. And I said, I'm fighting corruption, so you could be like 68 versus
Right.
half a million. And I just said no. And then through that, then I started getting going down the route of learning sovereignty, common law, and going, how are they doing this to us? How are they actually controlling us in such a way that they're not looking after the individual, that they're corrupt in every single thing they're doing? And just through that, then I'd encourage everyone to kind of start learning this, learning the power of the signature, learning when they're writing to you, because they'll write to me, say, Mr. Roy Colin, or all capitals Roy Colin, and that's not me. That's a corporate entity. So when you figure that out, they can't prove that you're a living soul. And it might sound stupid, but because I know everyone is going through this kind of thing internationally. I've seen it everywhere, the way that they do these things. Look at letters that you're getting from them, and are they writing to you like a normal person? And it's usually Mr. or all capitals. And that's a corporate entity. And you just figure out that and then try to learn how to write to them and different things. I cover that in one of my podcasts. I get a person on once a month at least. And I'm just different ways of, like, even with GDPR, and I'm sure in the States what ways them, but in Europe, GDPR is like data protection. So even if they're passing your information onto the bailiff, not allowed, data protection. And it's like, when you know these things, they just back off. And I've used that because I've had so many cases. They had, like, I mean, I'd had my accounts emptied and everything. So once I started learning this, at one stage, went to a barrister, I started using that. They're just gone, disappeared. Another time, a court again, they tried to get me to come in for something else. Use that. I never heard again. I thought, detectives, I've had cases where I had a criminal case against me for a building that we had. It was a tenement building. And when we run out of money, we couldn't pay for the water and stuff like that. Tenants weren't paying. So the water company turned it off and they claimed that I'd done it intentionally. Sure, I would never do that. And they've tried to give me 3 years in jail from that. Yeah. And I won that as well. But it's like when you go through these things, they just attack you from every direction. And you just have to learn. You have to learn their rules because they're playing games. You're nothing to them. And you think a solicitor will actually have your back and understand everything, or even accountants. Every time I've done something, it was actually my own knowledge and trying to understand things. Even if I had, like, I had to have somebody with me for the criminal case because that was like scaring me. It was like, what's going
Right.
on here? And the reason I won was I was passing information or just whispering to my solicitor saying, hey, say this, say that. I catch him out in lies and ended up winning. But a lot of people, when they're in court or whatever, they're just same with an accountant. They just pass it off, or like give their bucket of receipts to the accountant, thinking he is your best interest. Same in court. Just listen. You have to look after your own business. You have to look after everything.
You know, Roy, this is actually really interesting. So, you know, you've been through a lot, right? Like, I mean, that's like, like all that you've gone through, you know, all the court cases, but it's a huge life lesson. And listeners, I think this is something that I really want to make sure that everybody understands. And I'm going to share that something happened the other day with me and one of the businesses that I have, that this really came through true and really important. You have to really educate yourself, and you have to be your best advocate. And if you're going to be unstoppable, you have to get the knowledge. Like, you have, as you said, shared, like, you are passing information to the solicitor. You know, don't just be a bystander. You know, you have to be there fighting. And it's the same again, also like in medicine. Like, you know, if you go to the doctor, don't just take their word for it. You have to fight for yourself. If somebody says to you can't get a doctor appointment for 6 months, fight it. Like, there are ways you can get in. Trust me, I know. Or don't just take the answer. You have to educate yourself, because just because they may have a title doesn't mean they're right.
Absolutely. And like a lot
So,
of people put too much trust in the white coats, and what you need to do is
yeah.
find alternatives because they block all the alternatives and you start looking at how I can do this. And even if you get a diagnosis, go to a different one, go to a naturopath or something like that. Just get alternatives. There's some that can check your eyes and see what's going on. And a lot of the times it's something natural instead of cutting parts of your body out, because once you do
Yeah.
that, it's hard to go back.
Right, it's so true. So Roy, you know, you're at this point, right? And you're having all this stuff at you. Like, how have you, and what are the steps that you had to take to come back?
Well, one of the things I suppose is during it, because a lot of people they kind of think of the lack or the stress from the situation. Like at the time when I was going through this, like banks or credit card companies or stuff like that, when things were bad, like they're ringing you daily, abusing you. And like when you're out of money, like that's not good for your health when they're doing that. I mean, I don't know if they're still alone do that, but I'd say they are. Because I mean, they have one floor that's thrown out the money, the next floor to be as soon as you miss a payment there, and then they have somebody that's just, oh, they passed it to the debt level and they're just, you know, abusing you. So the one thing is stop thinking of lack. Stop thinking of what you've missed and what's gone. You're not going to help yourself with doing that. So it's like I came across a thing called the six phase meditation, and it was a guided meditation. And then I kind of created it myself. And it was one is gratitude, and it's like, what are you grateful for? Like I was grateful I still had a roof over my head. I was able to put food in my, you know, I was getting a cuddle for my child, and that was important to me. To that you're looking at the positive instead of the negative. And the other one was the act of forgiveness, because with so much of the things that I had, there was anger there. Like you're just kind of annoyed with society, you're annoyed with the people that because they didn't pay, hey, you could have got along for another few months and maybe everything came together. And it was, I have to forgive these people. And some were easy, and others, because the numbers were big, they were hard. And I kept trying. And how I actually done it is I brought them back to the child. I brought the person that I had the hatred for back to the child. I said, we've unconditional love for a child. And when you look at a child grabs your finger. There's nothing better. It's a beautiful feeling. And I kind of said, okay, external circumstances created who they are now, which is they could have alcoholic parents, abusive parents. They might have had very hardworking parents, but they had to do a few jobs and left them out in the wrong crowd and didn't keep their eye off the ball. And through that, they became who they are. But by doing it that way, I was able to forgive them. And what it actually did is it released it from me because, the memory of pain kind of poisonous. And it was like, I felt such a relief from doing that. And I encourage everybody, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is, forgive, because what you're doing is you're actually forgiving it from yourself. You're letting it go.
I love that you brought that up because, part of the meditation is, and whether you call it meditation, whether you call it affirmation, you can, a lot of times, but it's the positive talk that you need to say to yourself and be able to understand that, if you can be grateful for what you have, you can be grateful for the health that you have, you can be grateful for the smallest things. You could be grateful for the fact that somebody put and listeners, I'm sure I've got a pencil in my hand. It looks like a pen, but it's actually a pencil. You could be grateful for the lead that's in the pencil, like that somebody put that in there. There's so many things to be grateful for. And when you start to have that gratitude, it is amazing the calmness that starts to come over to you and what happens in between the two ears, right? And the only and one of the biggest ways to have that unstoppable success is by what you say to yourself, right? Like the stories that we say. So you started doing that, that the meditation, being grateful, forgiving. Did you start writing down a plan? Did you have an idea as to where you wanted to go?
I remember one of the clients that we had the tenement building with, because that didn't have a mortgage. We were able to kind of save that one. And what he said is, he says, money solves all problems. So that you start concentrating on the income instead of the. And it was just kind of looking at the different things. And like one of the commercial properties, there was a guy that I had met that I mentioned that he gave me the advice. He bought that. So even though I put a load of money into it, I didn't get anything from it, but I took a massive debt away. So he bought it on the condition that the debt was gone. And it just from learning the different things, just cleared the decks. And, and like say on the meditations, the mindfulness is another one that it was like just being totally present with what you're doing. Whereas before you're chugging through life or you're chasing a dream. You're going, oh, when I get this, I'm going to do this. When I get this, I'm going to have a bigger house. I'm going to have a better car. I'm going to do this. And it's like when you take a step back and you're just like, I love looking at the birds, the ants, nature. When I'm walking, I'm just watching everything. I'm looking at the trees. Like I saw something a few months ago about a tree that people were saying, you talk to the tree and the tree touches you. And I read a book, The Hidden Life of Trees, a few years ago, and I was shocked. It's like it's all connected. And I'd done that and it touched my face. I was like, this is incredible. And then I was telling my mom and she was next to me, and like as in on the phone. And I said, and she saw it happening. And it was like, you wouldn't think that's possible. Like, if somebody says that this, I put your tinfoil hat on. But just being totally present, it just makes life so much better and things slow down. Like sometimes people say, how were you able to do so many things, like six podcasts and all the different things you do? And it's like just being totally present as well. I'm not all over the place. I'm not trying to scroll through my phone when I'm doing an edit or something like that. I'm just totally present. And by just being totally present, I believe time slows down.
I would probably, I agree with you on that. It's the time. It's not that it's. I would think it's because you become focused on what you're doing. You're able to actually get the things that are done, and you are present in it. So you're not being distracted. The distraction creates the dizziness, right? Like if we can think, about again, present in what you are doing, not be thinking about, okay, all the other things that are going on, but really being able to, listen to the brain as to what you are doing right that minute, right? So what steps did you have to take to learn really again to become totally present in what you do?
I think it's just being conscious of it and just Like I was doing breath work as well. I started just because I started then going to an event. It was Mind Valley and AFEST and things like that. And I experienced breath work from different facilitators, and I was like, "Oh, this is nice." And then I got a course on it, and it was like I felt that kind of brings you within. But then I've felt I don't need to be doing an hour of this. I don't need to be. I just be take a breath, just take back a pause, and just be present. Like. I enjoy cooking. I like because I think like I'm totally present with the cooking. I'm enjoying putting the seasoning on and everything. And everything I'm doing, whether I'm doing a grill or whatever, if I'm playing with my child, I'm playing with my child. I'm doing the different things. And it's just, I suppose the more you do it, the more you realize, okay, this is more enjoyable rather than
Right.
thinking you can multitask or just like, so we've all been guilty of the phone and you scroll away and then you look and you go, where's the last 3 hours gone? And it's like when you've got a lot of things that would be more better served if you did them. And then just be conscious of that and track it. And like I removed the apps on my phone. I just thought, as so I got rid of Instagram, I got rid of LinkedIn and all the different things on my phone. It doesn't mean that I don't do them on the computer, but when I need to, when I see the message coming in or I go in and check them on different times. But
Right.
when you're on the phone, what happens is you go from one to the other and you're just going, and it's like, nah, this isn't serving me. And just being conscious of what's serving you.
Right. And I think that's actually a really two things that you just said, I think that are really key. And listeners, I think that it really helps with that to helping to be unstoppable is that you're doing the things that matter most to you and that are specific to where you want to go, and you're not being distracted with the noise, and that you took the things off your phone, and that it's like the schedule time. Okay, I'm going to go on to Facebook to do this. I'm going to go on to Instagram and do that. Like my time, whatever that business time is, you've plotted it on the calendar, or it's like I'm going to answer email like twice a day. Put the note, like you can even put it on your in on your signature. I answer emails twice a day. My work hours are these times, right? So, and abide by that, and so that we don't have that noise and we don't have that distraction. I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. Just not, and I'll share one of the things that I love to do, and I did this the other day, is that I had to go onto Facebook. I was typing an email and I wanted to put a link to a group to share. And I said to myself, why do you keep going on there to get the group? Just take the copy of that group if you're going to be referencing it a lot. Anything that you're referencing a lot, put it as a text replacement. Right? Like, so find those things. If you are doing that repetitive task or you're sharing something, find a way that you can either have a cheat sheet or something so you're not going onto that social media when you're not in your time slot, so you don't get distracted, right?
No, I have a Word document with all my X and everything. So when it's needed, that's what I do. Just copy and paste the different relevant ones and a mix. Because what happens is you go in to do, say, the group. Oh, I must copy the group of this. You go in, and before you know it, oh, there's a message. And then you're gone. You're like scrolling. You see a reel and you're like, oh, this is. But one of the things, actually, because you were asking about kind of different ways to overcome, is you can't have two emotions at once. So when people are feeling depressed, anxious, stressed, find what actually makes you smile and what cheers you up. Whether it's dancing, put on the music, the songs you like, and dance away on your own. Don't care.
I
Just
love
do it.
that.
Get a book if you enjoy reading. Like the amount of times I'd say it to somebody, say, I love reading, but I don't have time. I just say, okay, you're to do it now. I'd encourage them to. And then you talk to them a few days later and they actually listen to you. And you can see them, their energy levels are up and everything. And it's like we tend to just put our joy to the end of all these tasks and everything. I make sure I read every day. I love reading. I make sure that's part of my day. So find what you love, whether it's art or something like that. And like I like with one of the podcasts I do, I'm exposing fraud and corruption. And sometimes I'm going down the dark ways that I don't want to, but I need to kind of expose this stuff. And what I do is I look at comedies and stuff like that. That's my escapism. And it's like I make sure that I've stuff that I'm present when I'm researching it and getting it so I can tap in with the emotion. But then I'm able to tap away. Whereas I know some people, they can't, and they end up kind of stopping, whether it's podcasting or whatever, because it gets too dark for them. And it's like, don't do that. If you see something that's doing that, you step away from it. Don't let something control you. You have to be in control. So when you have emotion, just step away and go, all right, and go for a walk in nature. Do something that you enjoy. And by doing that, you've just switched it. It doesn't say, oh, tomorrow will be a better day. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm having a day. This is just one of them days. You're already conditioning yourself to accept that that's the way the day is going to be. Instead of going, all right, I'm going to change this, have a nice cup of coffee or tea, whatever you like, and just step back and just do a few things that make you feel better. And before you know it, your day has changed.
Yeah, I love that. So that's such a great thing. Get out into nature, do the thing. It is like if you start to feel that emotion coming over, that's not fueling you. Walk away. Find a way, find the joy. We do need to find the joy. I love that. Is so listeners, find the things and do the things that give you joy and put a smile on your face. Because it does. It changes your whole affect, and it changes your mood, and it changes your energy. It changes how people look at you, and how you, people. I always say your vibe attracts your tribe. So what you're attracting, I absolutely love that. And something, and I know this is part of one of your other businesses, and I think it actually kind of plays along with what we're talking about is that if there is something that you are doing or that's part of your daily task that does not bring you joy that you can actually hand off to somebody else, you've got a virtual assistant.
And it, like, say for the podcasting, the shorts, and the what I'd kind of do is kind of reduce the steps. So sometimes people would say, oh, I'll send the video to be then created with the shorts. I, with all my shows, the way that I do it is I actually edit it myself, but I put in the show notes. And once I upload the YouTube video, I put it into a file, a shared file. They know that it's there, and then they take it from there by using ClickGrab. So there's none uploading, downloading, because if you forget, the whole process stops. Then they have access to the different Facebook groups and share it. And it, like, the reason that I kind of created this, I did a recruitment at one stage when the Polish were coming to Ireland. I got a recruitment license and I was placing them in construction and different things. And it was good. It was working well. But then when I had to move to Poland, it was kind of, I couldn't run it from there.
Yeah.
But I've hired a load of people, so I kind of had that experience. And then I started, when I was doing the podcast, I'd use, like, say, Upwork or Fiverr. And you go through a lot of them and you'll be looking at reviews and you go, all right, I'll try. Yeah, this seems okay. And they start off great. And then it was like,
And then
are they doing anything? And it was like, that was annoying me. I was like, hey, or with Upwork, they'd have the screenshots. So you go, oh, I see he's here, he's there. And then it's like, why are they on this page? Like, say, the Polish one all the time. What's going on here? And I'm convinced they have two computers and they're just having it set up so that it's just taking screenshots. And it was like, that's what we're kind of doing, is we're making sure that it's not just an hourly basis. I mean, you can do an hourly basis. And I listened to the previous podcast, the girl doing recruitment from the Philippines, and she just finds people, which is grand that some people want that, but others don't. Some people want a package. Okay, this is what you're doing, this is the price. So we know what we have to do. And we know that if we don't do that, you're not going to be around next month. And we want to make sure that you're not concentrating on what we're doing. We have a decent conversation at the start. We know exactly what it is. You know, there might be a bit of tweaking. There's always a bit of tweaking, expectations and finding out exactly how we should do things. And then it just runs itself. And that's kind of the whole process of this company. And we can do anything. You know,
Right.
we're even websites, and we're trying to kind of cater for everyone as well. Like, we're now putting together things like, say, websites for $300, because you go to some people that charge you 10 grand to do a website. And I mean, there's different levels, obviously, if you want
Right.
e-commerce, but like, to have a nice website with a few pages, we're able to do that for you. And then we'll teach you how to edit it yourself and do it. So some companies, when you're dealing with them, they'll give you a price, but then they're going, oh, you want to change a picture, or you want to change text, and they're just abusing you, trying to get more money out of you. And we don't want to do that. We'd say, look, this is our rate if we're going to do these things. But if you want to do it, we're
Right.
going to teach you how to edit it yourself. So then it's like, if you feel, hey, this serves me, just do it, here's what I want done, that's grand. And if you want to do it
Right.
yourself, that's okay. So we're never out to catch people. So I'm doing it in a way that I like to be treated and make sure that our clients are looked after.
I absolutely love that. So, listeners, if you haven't figured this out, a couple of things is that if you want to come back from the brink, you've got to actually be able to sp spend some time with your mind and getting that in the right place. Because until you can do that, if you can't, in the way you speak to yourself, you have to be able to speak to yourself with grace and kindness, know your gratitude, have mindfulness, be able to forgive, and then find the joy in what you do. And if you need to, if there are things that you're doing in your business that don't suit your personality, maybe it's time to hire a virtual assistant to be that unstoppable success. So, Roy, I could talk to you forever because I think you're absolutely fascinating. So, how can people connect with you and learn more about all of your podcasts, your the VA work that you do, the brain gym?
So I don't know if they're watching, they can scan the QR code or go to roycollin.com. That's got all my podcasts, all my business. If they just want the virtual assistant, va.world and the brain gym, braingym.fitness. And soon, I'd say by next week, we're going to have a free book that's going to be just by subscribing to that. And it's good because he's just finished it. My business partner, Arnold Beck, is. And it's a fiction book. But it's done in a way that's actually, it's kind of like our conversation today. Make you think differently, think outside the box, be creative. And I think more people need to start doing that instead of complaining and trying to keep everyone happy without making yourself happy. You have to be happy.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
That's perfect. I absolutely love it. So listeners, do me the favor, go to roycollin.com, get all the stuff. If you're watching this on YouTube, obviously scan the QR code and get that. And it will actually have all of the links also in the show notes. But I need you to do me another favor besides going to roycollin.com. You need to click subscribe and you also need to share this podcast with your friends, your family, your business associates, and your colleagues because this is information that I know they need to hear. I'm Jacqueline Strominger, your host. This is Unstoppable Success. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Roy, for being an amazing guest.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping because you were meant to be unstoppable.